This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. More than 30 Durham teenagers can now add an exciting new line to their college resumes. Co-authored a novel. The book is called Running for Hope, and it blends fact, fiction, and illustration. It's a creative attempt to explore the life story of John Hope Franklin, while also documenting the modern-day challenges of growing up in Durham. The book interweaves the fictional story of a ninth grader, Kendrick Parker, with illustrated scenes from Franklin's autobiography, Mirror to America. The teen writers are members of the John Hope Franklin Young Scholars Program in the Durham schools. Two of them join me today. Kari Talley is a freshman at the Durham School of the Arts. Kari, welcome. Good to have you here.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Also with us is Eden Segbefia. She is an eighth grade student at Brogdon Middle School. Hi, Eden.
Hi.
And I'm also joined by Alexia Garvoyle. She's a high school teacher and the program facilitator. Hi, Alexa.
Hi.
So, Alexa, tell us a bit about this program, the John Hope Franklin Scholars Program, first of all, a little bit about that, and then this project.
Sure. So the John Hope Franklin Young Scholars is a program through Duke that's for DPS middle schoolers who are interested in history. And the goal is to make sure that nobody loses history instruction because we all know that education is going through some cutbacks, and a lot of elementary school programs are encouraged not to teach history because there's not time in the curriculum for it. So David Stein at Duke developed this program in order to combat that and get people interested in history early on. And then when they get into high school, hopefully they're still interested in history and they go into the field or at least are aware and make changes in their world.
So, Eden, tell us about this. I mean, are you interested in history? Is this something that you came to this program with an interest already?
Yes, I'm very interested in history. David met me at a play, and I was reading Anna Karenina, and so he suggested the program, and he said you have to be in this program. So, yes, I'm very interested in history.
How about you, Kari?
I love history and learning in general. Like, for most of my free time, I just go on the internet and just look up stuff that I don't know, and so... Yeah, learning has definitely been a big part of my life.
So tell us a little bit more about this project, the John Hope Franklin Project. How did this – I'll start with you, Eden. How did this whole thing come together? How did it start?
So for the book, first, we have an immersion week in the summer, and the scholars didn't really know we were writing a book yet. And so basically we were just researching John Hope Franklin's life and learning about him and what he liked to do. And so David kind of pitched the idea to the scholars, and we all really loved it. And he talked about integrating. He basically, the main goal was to show John Hope Franklin's life to people who didn't really know, and that's how it really came together.
Alexa, how much of a free hand do the students have in designing their projects?
Every year there's a topic that is either pitched to them or they choose, and then we don't know what the end result is going to be until the scholars have a say. So at first, I think this developed as maybe doing a biography of John Hope. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And then everybody said, no one wants to read a biography if you're a teenager. Let's do a novel. Is that right?
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that he already wrote his own biography.
Exactly.
And so why don't you put a spin on it? Well, Kari, how much did you know about John Hope Franklin when you came to this program?
When I first came into this program, I knew nothing, which really saddens me now.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that I got to know so much.
You know the great story, of course, about John Lewis. I hope you know it, about John Lewis having read a comic book that was about the work of Martin Luther King. And John Lewis, of course, one of the leaders of the Selma March, came into the civil rights movement because he read a comic book.
Wow.
There you go. I am your internet. I am your internet. Just Google me when you need facts and figures about this kind of thing. So, all right, how do you go about this, Eden? Okay, Anna Karenina, that's one thing. Now you got to write the book. Now what?
So first we kind of were just throwing ideas out and brainstorming. And then we wanted to piece together the plot. So after brainstorming, we went on a retreat to Stonehouse. And we had these different color-coded pieces of paper that had different events, and we were split into groups, and we got to put them in orders, in the order that we wanted to. And then afterwards, we kind of had a walk around the room, and we voted on which plot seemed to best fit our story.
That's great. So, Kari, tell us about that. Then you've got so now you've got a storyboard, essentially, right? And at some point, we've got to put words to this. Sometimes you've actually got to type it out. So what happened in the writing process? How did that go?
Well, with 30 people all tackling this one project, it really does get hectic sometimes. But after we had a lot of meetings and retreats and just trying to get together and try and give, you know, flesh to these characters and what we want to, for the story to be. And so after a lot of, well, story activities, and one time we actually cut out, like, outlines of these characters and stuff like that.
Physical outlines of, like, pictures?
Yeah.
What was surprising to you about the life of John Hope Franklin? I mean, here's a guy who grows up in the segregated South. It is a South that you didn't grow up in. And as you hear his stories on trains and in archives, and particularly as he gets an education at Harvard University, the first African-American to graduate there, what strike you right off the bat about that life?
Right off the bat, it was his ability to stay calm through it all. There's so much that happened that should, to a normal human being, you know, just peak off some, you know, anger or right. something. But he was able to really keep calm and keep a level of just, of, you know, a really, really nice aura around him.
Yeah. Eden, how much of his story, a lot of it has to be exotic and kind of foreign to you, some of the things in particular that he faced, you wouldn't face today in that way. How much of his story resonates with you? How much of it sounds like things that you do encounter today?
Not much. At first, it kind of just seemed like a hearing about other historical figures. But then when we explored what he liked to do just for fun, like planting orchids or fly fishing, we kind of just saw him more as a person, because people have told me when they met him, he's just really genuine and funny and just a really fun person to be around.
Alexa, again, more about this process. You know, Kari put his finger on it. You got 30 people. And you're going to write a book. Oh, come on. How do you keep? And it did. And by the way, it's a wonderful book. So how do you keep all that together? Allow the creative juices to flow, but also, you know, get yourself to into between the covers here.
Well, we certainly talked with a lot of authors along the way who had been published. And every time we approached them, they said, how is this possible? How are you doing this? And are you sure you want to keep doing this? Because it is hard. So our basic game plan was, once they all figured out what the plot line one was, what the main conflicts were, I sat down and divided these out into chapters, these events into chapters, and within the chapters, even smaller events. And then when we would get together for our Saturday sessions or for our writing retreats, different scholars would choose which events they kind of gravitated towards that they found some kind of connection to their lives, and they would write that section of the chapter. At the end of the day, the end of the retreat, we would put everything together in a Google document. And towards the end of the process, these two, along with about four others, helped us kind of write all of the transitions and link everything together nicely.
Well, Kari, this is historical fiction. It's not the biography. And it's a story set in modern times, contemporary times here in Durham. And I am told that the protagonist, Kendrick Parker, one of them, is would remind us an awful lot of you if we knew a lot about you, huh?
Yeah.
So what way? So describe. Who's Kendrick? Tell us about his life.
Kendrick.
And we won't think it's you.
Okay.
You're talking about somebody else, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kendrick is this ninth grade freshman who really just wants to live life as a teenager. And he runs track. He thinks about girls. Really does not have a lot of care for education as much as, you know, you should. And really has a lot on his mind, in his plate.
Mostly concerned with the stuff, and a skateboard, right?
Skater.
He likes the stuff, you know, what
totally
it is to be a ninth grader.
Not
totally not me. Incognito.
But certainly not reading the papers and listening to your local public radio station to get a daily dose of the mayhem that is our social order. So he's not concerned with that stuff, right? And that's who this character is. And then he keeps running into, in a sense, John Hope Franklin's life, and they kind of come together. So, Eden, could I get you to read a section for us from the book? And maybe you can set it up for us so that we know kind of where we are. It's fairly early in the book.
Yeah. My section that I'll be reading is when we meet Kendrick's rival character, or antagonistic type of character. His name's Oliver, and it really sets up the two's parallel but different sort of relationship.
Okay.
Oliver Martin had always been the classiest dude in school. When he transferred in the middle of seventh grade, he was an instant hit, and he still was. Maybe it was because of his style. For instance, now as he leaned toward Kelsey, I inspected Oliver's bow tie, This one had anchors on it, little white ones that danced in different directions on a navy blue field. I looked down at my bright white Jordans and adjusted my t-shirt. The bow tie was in with the administration, a team of men who for some reason came together over this bygone accessory. They brought it back. There was even a bow tie club, and Oliver was its poster child. Or maybe it was because of his light skin made it possible for him to be friends with everyone without it being a big deal. He was more vanilla wafer than Oreo, and for some reason that got him in with the girls, especially who were already fanning themselves over John Legend and Drake. If we're talking the cookie metaphors here, I was a chocolate double stuffed Oreo dipped in chocolate milk.
So there it is. Kari is reading from the novel, the graphic novel, in fact, Running for Hope, and it is a book put together by the John Hope Franklin Scholars in Durham, a collaboration with Duke University and the public school system here. I understand this whole kind of Oreo question and light skin, dark skin was part of a very large conversation about who Oliver was going to be and whether or not he would be white, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that conversation and what you finally decided on.
Well, at first we were thinking about having him to be a white character, but then it really got into like this really played out. We all know about the whole black-white situation. What if we added a new dynamic to that? That is very real in today's society of, you know, this kind of made-up conflict between dark skin and light skin, which really should not make sense. But it,
it's part of the deal and been that way for a long time. So we understand that race is a very complicated thing. And Eden, you talked about inviting other authors. One of them was Sharon Ewell Foster, who's been on this show a number of times for the historical fiction that she's written. What did she have to say to you, and how did I understand that she really kind of changed your views on some things, right?
Yes, I think she talked about our character Leah. Yes, so she kind of went through our book and then she came back and she told us that our character Leah wasn't really, she didn't seem attractive. She just seemed just really brainy. Whereas our character Kelsey, she just, all we talked about in describing Kelsey was how attractive she was and what kind of clothes she wore. And so she really wanted us to transform how the readers would see Leah as a person.
Leah was African American?
Yes.
And Kelsey was white?
Yes.
So I guess maybe one of the dynamics here was she was pointing out that you have a less attractive African American woman and you're really highlighting the physically attractive features of the white woman.
Right.
When she pointed that out to you, I mean, what happened to you? What were you thinking in that moment when she said that?
I was really like, wow, how did we not think of this before? And so it was a really nice discussion to have. All the scholars just came together and we really agreed with what she said. And so that's when we started thinking about how to change other characters based on her comments.
Can I get you to read a section of the book for us, Eden?
Yes. So the section I'm reading is an interaction between Kendrick and Leah, their best friends. So this kind of shows how he turns to her for just for comfort. "You know, Kendrick, I don't really want to play Scrabble right now. I guess the magical tell-all-your-fears Scrabble game was losing its touch. I scraped up the tiles from the board and dropped them into the bag, realizing how very sad and empty the sound of Scrabble tiles mixing together was. I put the worn box back on the shelf and stared at the books next to it. There was the usual Lorraine Hansberry plays, a couple Richard Wrights, and then I noticed a smiling face peering at me from a shiny dust jacket. This was getting too creepy. John Hope Franklin was everywhere. I pulled down Mirror to America and flipped through it. Hey, it's the hero of my comic book, I said to myself. Leah looked at me confused. The Green Lantern? I don't really see the resemblance. No, no, but Dr. Franklin is a hero in a way, I explained. You know who Jackie Robinson was? First African-American baseball player in the major leagues, drafted to the Dodgers in 1947, Leah rattled off. So yes, well, John Hope was the Jackie Robinson of higher education, I said, and both hit pay dirt in Brooklyn. It was front page news in the New York Times for each of them when it happened. I don't get it, said Leah. What exactly did Dr. Franklin do? He was the first African-American to get a teaching position in a white university. He received his doctorate in history from Harvard, but the color line was as strong in universities as it was in baseball. Dr. Franklin is also one of the nicest people alive. I can't believe you haven't heard of him before. I swiftly rummaged through my book bag to pull out the slim graphic autobiography. I flipped through the pages until I found one of my favorite sections and held it out, so both Leah and I could see. I think you'll get a kick out of this story about making dinner for his wife, Aurelia.
That is Eden Segbefia. She's an eighth grade student at Brogdon Middle School and one of more than 30 John Hope Franklin Young Scholars who contributed to the new book, Running for Hope. And we are talking about it today on The State of Things. So, Eden, tell me, you know, you heard Kari say, and it's true, we sort of know about racial disparity and racial difference in the United States. We understand the conflict, and yet we don't. You had this revelation when Sharon Yule Foster talked to you. Did you start to – I wonder how you saw what you thought you understood as a simple black and white issue once you saw how much we internalize some of these notions and we have to keep questioning ourselves. It almost I could think it might be even scary to think it's that complex.
Yes, it was very scary. And also since our group, the scholars, is very diverse, it was very interesting to hear what other kids our age were thinking just inside their heads.
Alexa, what about these revelations? You, from your perch as the kind of the director of this project, what did you see happening in terms of, you know, consciousness raising and the development of new ideas?
Well, just to go back to that moment with Sharon Yule Foster, it was a very tense moment in the room. Do you remember it being tense? So I think that we were not aware, or the scholars were not aware of the level of unconscious racism that was coming through in our story. And we encountered that a few times, and it was really important for us to talk through all of that. And many times throughout the process, we talked about what do we want our readers to take away. If we put the black guy and the white girl, you know, going off into the sunset together at the end, what is that telling our readers? If we just put Kendrick and Leah together at the end, what is that telling our readers to do, that they should state within their race? So we decided to, I won't tell you the ending.
Well, tell us more about the book and itself, and we need to talk a little bit about the illustration. There are moments in the book that we find examples of a graphic novel. Who did the illustrations and how did that come about?
So the illustrations are done by local graphic artists, and two of them are actually teachers in Durham Public Schools. And we tried to figure out what parts of John Hope's life, or you all did this, tried to figure out what parts of John Hope's life we could find a mirror to in a modern life of a ninth grader. So how did he deal with racist issues that he was facing? Can we have our character deal with something similar? And how can we work this conceit of a book within a book into the novel? So basically, the idea is there is this graphic novel out there that exists in our fictional world, and it is the comic book version of Mirror to America. And every time Kendrick looks at this for inspiration, his history teacher gave it to him, every time he looks at it, we see exactly what he's seeing on the page. So you only get snippets of this full book.
Well, Kari, what do you hope happens with this book that you all have written?
What I want is for young people to really, you know, get interested in history. And not just any history, but, you know, racial history, because it's so present here in our time. It really is. And we turn a blind eye to it always and don't realize that everything we say sometimes trails back to that. And so for young people to be aware of this and to keep moving forward and, you know, because you know how the saying goes, if you don't learn from your history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Bound to repeat it. Eden, what about you? What do you want for this book?
Yes, kind of what Kari said. I want young people just have passion about history. And I think a book in this form could really spark that kind of passion in young students.
Great book. Great job. Thank you so much for being on the program. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John Hope Franklin Scholars Kari Talley and Eden Segbefia. And Alexa Garvoil also joined us. She's a high school teacher and the program facilitator. Running for Hope, available at bookstores around Chapel Hill and Durham, and you can get it at Amazon.com. Just ahead, what do North Carolina authors say about the Tar Heel State? Oh, by the way, I should tell you that this book is part of a year-long celebration of John Hope Franklin's life, marked by a keynote lecture tonight at Duke Sanford School of Public Policy. You can get more information on that at our website, stateofthings.org. We will talk with North Carolina authors in a bit about their take on the Tar Heel State. Stay tuned.